You know, I find time and again in my own life, and I see this in the lives of others, people are surprised by Jesus. Surprised by things he says and does. And the children have been looking this week at parables of Jesus. Their parables are stories. They're stories that Jesus told, stories that have actually in them kind of surprising twists. They were said in particular contexts and situations, but they were said to make a real point and to drive that point home. And we're going to be looking this morning at one of the parables, the parable that we had just acted out for us earlier in the service, the parable that the children are looking at even now in their different groups. And I want to read it from the children's Bible. I read this with my son sometimes, or often in the evenings. It's just great sometimes to read a children's Bible because it brings things across quite simply. And so I'm going to read, and it's going to be up here on the screen from the International Children's Bible, and it's Matthew chapter 18. If you've got a Bible or you got given one, do read from there, but it will be up here on the screen in this version that I'm reading now. Jesus said, "The kingdom of heaven is like a king who decided to collect the money his servants owed him. So the king began to collect his money, and one servant owed him several million pounds. But the servant did not have enough money to pay his master, the king. So the master ordered that everything the servant owned should be sold, even the servant's wife and children. The money would be used to pay the king what the servant owed. But the servant fell on his knees and begged, 'Be patient with me, I will pay you everything I owe.' The master felt sorry for his servant, so the master told the servant he did not have to pay, and he let the servant go free. And later, that same servant found another servant who owed him a few pounds. The servant grabbed the other servant round the neck and said, 'Pay me the money you owe me.' The other servant fell on his knees and begged him, 'Be patient with me. I will pay you everything I owe.' But the first servant refused to be patient, and he threw the other servant into prison until he could pay everything he owed. All the other servants saw what happened, and they were very sorry. They wept and told their master all that had happened. And the master then called his servant in and said, 'You evil servant, you begged me to forget what you owed. So I told you that you did not have to pay anything. I had mercy on you. You should have had the same mercy on that other servant.' The master was very angry, and he put the servant in prison to be punished, and the servant had to stay in prison until he could pay everything he owned. This king, Jesus said, did what my heavenly Father will do to you if you do not forgive your brother from your heart." And so, Heavenly Father, I pray, help us and speak to us even now through your word. Amen. This morning we are looking at a subject which is relevant to every single person in this room, myself included. It's relevant for every marriage, every parent, every person who's going into college tomorrow or work tomorrow, every person who's got a neighbor or a flatmate, or every person, in fact, here has to relate to people, real people, imperfect people. And this subject this morning won't just help you in your relationships. You know, it can actually help your health, your mental health, your physical health even, and your kind of interior world. This subject this morning is so important for us to learn how to respond wisely in situations. It's this subject of forgiveness. Forgiveness. I heard a bit of marriage advice way back. I found it very helpful, and I'm thankful that my wife also embodies it.
I heard someone say that the best marriages are made by the best forgivers. I know that one of the things that I learned as a kid growing up watching my parents and church, if you're a regular here, you know one of our big hearts is to raise the next generation. And as we seek to do that, one of the things that kids watch in their parents is how do they deal with things when they get them wrong? I remember seeing my dad say sorry to my mum and my mum say sorry to my dad, and I remember seeing them forgive each other. I remember seeing them receive forgiveness and show forgiveness. And that is not easy. You know, we all too easily hurt one another and are hurt by others. Often those hurts are deep and profound. In fact, however you or your kids might behave in life, you cannot avoid the fact that the bad behavior of others can affect you and those you love. Often deeply. Profoundly. I know in my own life, I sometimes am kept awake at night by things that other people have said or done that have hurt me. I know that there are people where the things they have to forgive, ways in which they've been hurt, are absolutely massive, far more than anything I've had to deal with. So if you're here this morning, and even as we talk about this subject, something comes to mind where you've just been massively hurt, I want to say right at the start, God understands and knows all that you've been through. And when we come to God's word, one of the reasons I love that memory verse that the kids have been teaching is it's a verse that says we can trust God. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, it says. And one of the reasons that's so important in this kind of subject, there we have it, trust in the Lord with all your heart, lean not on your own understanding. One of the reasons that's so important in this subject is that the Bible, I find, is so helpful at being real about the brokenness and problems in our world. And as it's real about those things, I then can trust it to be real about how I should respond to them. And often the Bible says that I need to respond in a way that's hard and costly. Whereas when I try and apply my own kind of perspective and understanding, I often prefer a kind of easier, simpler route that's less costly. But Jesus here tells a story that actually is not hard to understand. But it is hard to do. And he tells it in a way that, with these little wonderful surprises, kind of helps us really kind of get to the heart of it. And I want to just show you that there's kind of two big surprises. Well, really, even there's three big surprises, but they really drive home two points. And the first is simply this, the importance of receiving forgiveness. Do you notice that the context of this story that Jesus tells, it says the kingdom of heaven is like a king who decides to collect the money his servants owed him. The context is one of justice. And often when we start talking about forgiveness, a question that we can have in our mind is, well, what about justice? And you'll be pleased to know that Jesus sets this story firmly in the context of justice. Someone owes someone some money, and it's right and due that that person should pay that back. And the king calls him in and says, you owe me money, you need to give me money. And then we're introduced to this servant who owes, did you see how much in our story? Millions of pounds. I mean, imagine that. I don't know if you've been in a kind of debt that's beyond anything you could pay. And you have that kind of feeling of like, I can't pay it back. Maybe you've got one of those letters from a debt collector that can just cause your heart to sink. Millions of pounds here. And so he gets called in. And as he's called in, he begs for just a bit more time to pay back his debt. And we read in verse 26. 6:27, that the master took pity on his servant and showed him mercy. I heard this week a great definition of mercy, that mercy is having compassion and forgiveness shown towards someone whom it is within our power to punish or to harm. So he shows him mercy. He could have just showed him mercy and said, right, you can have another week or two or month or year to pay back this debt. But he doesn't do that. And here is the first surprising twist of this story. He does something amazing. He does something startling. He says to this servant, you can go free. £1 million, debt wiped. Now let me ask you, if the servant doesn't have to pay the £1 million, who paid in this story? The king, the master. He paid for that £1 million in effect because he wiped the debt. And the servant, what did he have to pay? Nothing. He went, and we read in verse 27, he let the servant go free. You can imagine that sense of freedom. Wow. Imagine that. He got £1 million off. Staggering. But then we come to the next bit of the story. And it's in the next bit of the story that we see our second kind of surprise and shock. Because in verse 28, we see that this guy encounters someone who also owed him something. Later, the same servant found another servant who owed him a few pounds. Just a few pounds. Do you notice how different this amount is from the massive millions of pounds before? And the servant does what would have been, if the story started here, a very normal thing to do. He says to this other person, you need to pay me back. And just like the king did right at the start, he could have demanded it and said, look, if you don't, you're going to get punished. But here, suddenly, we face another surprise. And this time, it's shocking. Look what happens. This servant demands payment, and they got it right in the little drama. They actually, he took him round the neck and said, you've got to pay me my money. Now, imagine you were there watching that. What would you feel? What do you feel as you read the story? It's kind of like, no, you can't do that. That's shocking behavior. In fact, in the story, we see that all the other servants were shocked. They were like in tears. They were like, oh my goodness, this guy, he can't do that. And they go and tell the master. Now, let me ask you, why do you think that servant did that? Why did he behave like that? Why didn't he do what the king had done to him? Well, somebody owed him something and he deserved to get it back. He knew that if that servant didn't pay, he'd have to pay. And even though it was a few pounds, he wanted the other guy to pay. And maybe he'd quickly, even though it had been millions, forgotten what he'd just been given and shown. And you know, as we come to this story, we see as it comes to its end, a final twist, a final surprise in this story. And it's like a big surprise that really underlines not just the importance of receiving forgiveness, but of showing forgiveness. Because what happens in the story is when the king hears, he gets the servant back in and says, look, you servant, you should have shown mercy. And now that mercy that I showed you, because you didn't show mercy, I will take it away and you'll be punished. It's like the king says to the servant, if you want your relationships to be governed by justice, then you'll get justice from me. But if you want your relationships to be governed by mercy, you need to show mercy to receive mercy from me. Justice or mercy, which do you want? Now, in verse 34, we start to see right at the end of the story that Jesus is not just telling a story. He's speaking to you and to me about our lives. In verse 34, we read, this king did what my heavenly father will do to you if you do not forgive your brother from the heart. We start to see that this servant who owed a few pounds is like our brother or our sister or our neighbor or our colleague. This one who owed a few pounds is like those people that hurt us, that say things and do things that kind of really get under our skin. The people who, by their actions, bring pain into my life and your life. Real pain. And the challenge is, when they do that, I have to think, who's going to pay? And the temptation in me, and I know it is there for many, is to say, I'm going to make them pay. Now, often, it's right and justice is good and the law and the courts do need to get involved. But even when they do, so often in our heart, we still have a, I'm going to make them pay. I want to see them really suffer. I want to get them back for what they've said and done. And you know, it doesn't have to be a big thing, even a little thing. And we can harbor it, a grudge for ages. And when it's people who are close to us, and that's often the hardest, it kind of grows. It accumulates. And we keep records of wrongs. Because when people hurt us, it hurts. And yet, Jesus is saying, we need to forgive. We need to, as it were, I heard someone once say that holding on to bitterness and unforgiveness is like drinking poison and hoping that the other person dies. And you know, showing forgiveness is countercultural in our lives and our hearts. And when you meet people who do it, it is massively inspiring. I met a couple once. They were at a conference and they'd written a book about a situation where they had to show forgiveness. It was a massive thing. They were called Ray and Vi Donovan. I actually spoke about them a couple of years back on another part of the Bible when I was speaking on forgiveness. And shortly after I'd spoke about them, they actually did an interview, which I want to show you. It's an interview where they're talking about the situation that they had to show forgiveness in. It was to do with their son. In fact, they had two sons. They were walking through the street and they got attacked by a gang. They got beaten up. Their son Phil got beaten up first, and then Chris got thumped and bashed into the head, and then some of the gang dragged him into the street on the road. And this is where we pick up Ray and Vi telling their story.
The police are coming. They all started to run, and the girl went to get Chris out the road, and the oldest boy said, leave him there. By saying that, it became murder. So they all ran, left Chris. A car came over the hill. He saw Chris on the road. He swerved around him. Another car came behind him. She had no time. She ran over him. The bell caught on her exhaust pipe. She dragged him 40 metres down the road. At 20 to 4 in the morning, when you see the doctors, the police and the hospital chaplain, when they walked in the room, their faces told us. Chris died that morning because one 15-year-old coward wanted respect from his friends. We're taken to our friend's house, and in the car I turned to Vi and I said, you know what, as Christians we're going to have to forgive the boys that did this.
Getting in the car, Ray said we might have to forgive them. Oh boy, I'm hitting the roof, I'm screaming. Don't talk to me about that. What I was really doing was hanging on to the rage and the anger, and because I thought it was going to give me power over him at the time. It felt good. What I realised later is it's not good, it's destroying me.
Then we had to go to court, didn't we?
Yeah. That was the worst, knowing that you're going to actually see these young men that did this to Chris.
So one boy pleaded guilty, I think it was GBH. He got a £100 fine. £200 cross for breaking Phyllis' glasses. The other three were charged with murder. I looked at Vi and I said to her, look around, there's no winners. As far as I'm concerned, the only winners in the case are the lawyers. There's no winners.
You know, you realise over the time that if you don't put the glass of poison down of unforgiveness, you just keep drinking it and it destroys you. Ray always said to me, Vi, they can't have the rest of my life. I won't let it. I won't let them do that.
They took Chris and not taking me. It's coming to their term of coming out of prison. So we'll meet them when they come out of prison. So no one can say they're meeting us to get time off. We pulled in the car park and I turned to them and I went, are we really going to do this? Are we really going to do this?
It felt quite bizarre. We're going to walk in the room and we're going to say hello to the young man who killed our son.
The handle goes down and in he walks. And the first thing I noticed, he had a shirt, tie, suit, polished shoes and haircut. That's respect. So I just got up and come here. He walked over, put his arms around me, whispered thank you. He then looked at Vi like a baby and said, may I, didn't he?
May I hug you? Yeah, come on in. 26 years old, not 15 anymore, and he still looks like this little boy. And so I give him a hug, and I say, "Hey, young man." He went, "What?" I said, "We forgive you. Move on and have the future. Have the life Chris can't have." So I've learnt now to put the glass of poison down. But sometimes, just sometimes, like we go to his grave, I'll pick it back up again and I'll get angry. And you probably can hear it in my voice. We get angry. So we've got to keep putting it down. That's the legacy. That's the ripple effect they've left in our lives, that we've got to keep doing this.
Got to keep forgiving. There's people in the room here and you've forgiven someone and you know what it is to feel that kind of come again so that you feel angry again. You want to get them back. You just got to keep forgiving. And it's really hard to do. And to be honest, sometimes it feels like a crazy thing to do. You know, it's one thing to see Sheriff Josh and the British Bandit give each other a hug when it's a fake scene. When it's real, it is really hard. But you know, if the story started in verse 28 with that servant going and meeting the other servant, if there'd need no story before that, it wouldn't have been a strange thing for him to demand payment. But the only reason why that servant, in our eyes and everyone else's eyes, should have shown mercy is because of the story that was before verse 28, the story with the king and the servant and the £1 million. And did you notice how Ray said in the car as he was going with Vi to the hospital, he said, "Vi, as Christians, we're going to have to forgive. As Christians," you see, Christians are those who've come to realize that the first part of the story is the key part. Christians are those who've realized that actually we are in debt to God. God is the Heavenly Father. King is like the God, our Heavenly Father. And I have done things, you have done things that have hurt him, that have gone against what he wanted us to do. In fact, we've abused his planet that he made for us. We've abused and hurt the people around us so often that he made in his image. And even when he sent his son to come and save us, mankind killed him on a cross. We owe a debt to God that we cannot pay. I cannot pay it. And we need mercy. And the mercy that the God who is really there, that Jesus came to reveal to us, the God who is really there is a God of mercy. Hallelujah. And he shows me and you mercy. He pays my debt and your debt, the debt we cannot pay, the debt that when we turn our back on the God of life and light, that the debt is the payment, the punishment is death, eternal separation from God. And on the cross, Jesus paid my debt and yours. He died in my place. He was separated from the Father so that you and I could go free, forgiven. And when you receive mercy like that, it should and must change the way you relate to others. As Jesus taught his disciples to pray, "Forgive us our trespasses, our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us." When you've received mercy like that, again, you have to think like that bit in the story. Are we going to want our relationships to be governed by justice, justice with God and justice with others, or mercy with God and mercy shown to others? And I know in my life I need mercy. God, I need mercy, so help me show mercy. Would you come and open my eyes again to how wonderful what you did on the cross for me is and what you've done for us so that we can have power today, seeing what Christ has done for us to forgive others. So I want to give time. I want to invite the band to come forward and we're just going to have some time to respond. And I want to give you a moment first to receive forgiveness, to just say, "God, I need your mercy. I've got a prayer up here, and as the band come and just lead us in some music, I want you to give you the time just to think about how you need mercy, the debt you cannot pay to God. And I want to just lead us in a bit after we've paused, just to echo this prayer in our heart, to thank God that he paid on our behalf and to receive his forgiveness. Lord, help us have faith and trust your word to be able to do that. Lord, I just pray, come Holy Spirit and help us see how holy and great you are. Lord, help us be real, to come recognizing how we've sinned against you, hurt you, see the great debt we owe you. But Lord, help us see your mercy.